This podcast is brought to you by K&R Sound, Ireland's leading PA supplier for all occasions, big or small. PA installation and refinement also available. Get yourself heard today. Just search for K&R Sound on Facebook.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
A rover I have been, and a rover I must stay, and to that faithful county now I will return someday. Oof, all you how I love you.
With he is truly an Offaly legend. He played in the first ever All Ireland final in 1974 and went on to win two All Irelands from 1980 to 1981. He's still extremely involved in the sport and will always be remembered as one of the key figures in the foundation of the sport that we all love. Ladies and gentlemen, the 2014 Hall of Fame winner is, of course, Phyllis Hackett Price.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 9 of What's the Story with myself, Lloyd Bracken. Again, a huge thanks for all the messages and feedback from last week's podcast with Danny Rabbit. He's an absolute gent of a man and we could have spoken for a couple of hours, believe it or not. I think he's knocked my father off the number one top spot, so he's a bit happy about that. But to follow up, my next guest in the hot seat is a two-time All-Ireland winner and a GAA Hall of Famer. She is also famous for flying around Clara on two wheels. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Phyllis Price, What's the Story?
Hello, Lloyd.
Phyllis, as Marty Morrissey said there, Phyllis Hackett Price, first a Ballycumber woman, born and bred.
Definitely, yes.
Okay, tell us about times growing up in Ballycumber.
Oh, it was great. Like, we lived out in the country. Our next door neighbours were like half a mile away or more. So we walked to school. We started school in Lamonahan. And actually, we used to leave home at 8:30 and I think we didn't get to school till 10 o'clock. But the teacher never said anything to us. But we had a great time. Like, we grew up with nature and we'd be watching birds' nests and stuff like that.
Your parents, Johnny and Elsie, tell us about those.
Well, my parents were great, hard-working people. Dad worked with Bord na Mona and my mother was at home working. And then when we got older, we used to cut our own turf and all that. And actually, we'd go out to Bord na Mona and we'd work. My first official job was foot and turf when I was 16. And it was great. You could go out, you got your control number, you went to the yard and you got your control number and you could work as long or as hard as you liked. Families did it, yeah. When we were younger, like, my mother would have gone over and my father, apart from he was a machine driver, he would have taken out a floor of turf. We'd have gone over and done it.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. It was great. And it was a great way of making extra money.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel sorry for the kids today, like. They have the whole holiday sitting at home, whereas we were out in the bog. Like, you'd be sent down to, you'd just told, go down and saw spuds for Brian Flanagan, God rest him, Johnny Condon or someone. And it was great. It was great exercise.
Yeah. So there's five in your family, yourself, Donal, Liam, Mary and Francis.
Yes.
Did you get on well, Phyllis?
Actually, we got on grand. Mary, Francis and Liam were quiet. Myself and Donal, well, we were quiet enough, but not as quiet as the others.
Some of your siblings followed you to Clara, didn't they?
No, I followed them.
You followed them.
I was last.
Right. Very good. We actually have a message from your brother, Donal.
Oh.
Yeah, so sit back, have a listen to this.
Hello, Phyllis. This is your brother, Donal. I want to congratulate you on your official status as a character, which it is. We knew that 50 years ago. You are, of course, a legend of ladies' football, and it was great to see you recognised for that some years ago. Alice tells me now when I meet off the exiles, I should just tell them that I'm Phyllis Price's brother to save time, because they all know who you are. If I'd known you were going to be such a legend, maybe I wouldn't have got you in so much trouble by making you laugh during the Rotary as kids. But you're, who could resist that laugh? Alice just reminded me of a story I told her years ago when you put the fear of God in me in summer of 74, and I had an old Honda 90 motorbike that broke down in Pulla. Well, I got a lift home and you were on a day off from Gussie's and you had the Ennis children with you. Anyway, you offered to help me get the bike to the mechanic in Forbann. Well, we tied the rope to the bumper, attached the other end to the bike, you drove away. Well, I remember thinking, God, she's driving a bit fast, but she slowed down at the first turn. I barely held the bike in the road, and when we got to the straight, I started shouting and waving for you to slow down. And the young innocents, God bless them, they waved back happily. Finally, with a 90-degree turn at the shop coming up fast and my whole life flashing in front of me, I managed to turn the key, flash the lights, blow the horn and get your attention. I often wonder if you were trying to get payback for me getting in trouble at the Rosary, but anyway, they were good times. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
That's great. Thanks, Donal. I remember all those times you did get me into trouble.
So Donal is living in your limelight, like I live in my father's limelight. But I tell the people I'm Paddy Bracken's son. I don't tell them my own name. So we know. I know how Donal feels anyway.
I know.
So good times there pulling Donal into Fermanagh.
Oh, we had great times. Donal had 150. And God rest Eileen O'Mara, Tommy, the postman, decided he'd take his holidays and he offered the 2 weeks' work to Eileen and myself. So off we set. We actually 24 miles to go in Le Monaghan byways, which was awful, and back to the Hill of Belair. And I used to drive the bike and Eileen would leap off and throw the letters in. So the bike served lots of purposes.
So the big question for us, how did you escape Ballycumber?
Well, I was kind of forced to live in Clara. I met Joe, we got married, and he would live in Ballycumber. But
where did you meet Joe?
Ballycumber Carnival. Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, it was one of these nights. Well, I met him a few times before that, like, but I met him at Ballycumber Carnival and we started going out and went out for maybe, 5 years. Then we got married.
Right.
Moved to Clara. If Ballycumber and Clara were playing now, I'd have to say, if you shout for Ballycumber.
You'd shout for Ballycumber.
Yes.
So, like, was it hard moving to Clara back then from Ballycumber? Did you adjust well?
Well,
I know you adjusted well now, but back then, was it hard?
Well, I was still working in Gussie's and I really didn't know too many people in Clara. So I used to go out to work in the morning and be back at 6 or 7. And then I got to know Lily Gilfile, Eileen Garran, you know, Marion Keenan, I knew from school. So it was great.
Yeah.
You know, hop in and visit him. You know me anyway, I'd hop in anywhere.
Yeah. So you're down in Church Road now. Happy times down there.
Ah, yeah, sure. It's a lovely place to live.
I have a message from some of your neighbours down there. Lily Gilfile.
Oh, Lord.
Let's hear Lily.
I sure Phyllis and Joe are great neighbours and friends of our family. Phyllis never forgets a birthday, anniversary or special occasion. We always helped each other out. If Phyllis needed something, she turned on the light over the front door and someone would run over to see what she wanted. Johnny went over window to help her get the dinner and he ended up washing disposable washing up liquid, so he wasn't called again. And herself and John were great pals. They used to have great chats. They had a Connect Four tournament one time at Christmas. Sure, she'd run over for a quick game when she would see John's car there at lunchtime. She comes to my house every Christmas Eve night and myself, Eileen Gowan and Phyllis, we chat the early hours. The friendship continued with Danny and Rowan and best pals all their lives. My kids always babysat for Phyllis and they all have great memories of her. Her door was always open to them and to all the kids on the road, and it still is. However, there's one thing I'll never forgive her for. I had waited years to see Foster and Alan in the Star, and they had just started that night when I was called to go home because Phyllis was in labour with Danny. And she was looking for me. I suppose it's time to forgive her now, though.
Thanks, Lily, for that forgiveness. But Danny ruined it all again. Poor Lily. Never got to see Foster and Alan.
Oh, no, that's Danny. He steps in at the wrong moment.
So that was your neighbour, Lily, there. Nice memories.
Ah, yeah, Lily is a great old neighbour. Like when, when Mary was a baby, if I needed anything, Barry was the one who always came over. He'd be out on the road playing. I'd turn on the outside light and Barry being in the... like a shot, you know. They were great neighbours.
Great. Great still, neighbors. Still the same to this day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, Phyllis, tell me about your working life then.
My working life, well, I started working in Gussie's. Now, we had great crack out there. There was a few incidents we had out there. One of them was Eileen O'Mara, God rest her, she died last year, so one of my best friends. Eileen was absolutely terrified of going up on the loft in Gussie's because there was coffins up there.
Right.
So... we talked to her one evening, anyway, myself and James, and we said, listen, it's only a bit of timber. So go on up, Eileen, sure. So I said to James, just tell her how long a minute, there's stuff in the way. Yeah. So myself and James went up and I got into the coffin. Well, James put the lid on me. And James, I said to James, you cough when you're coming near me. And I lift the lid. So James came up with Eileen. There was five coffins always up there. And James had Eileen by the hand. And Eileen was kind of a bit nervous, even though she was assured it was nothing. So as James gave the cough anyway, and I started lifting the lid slowly. Oh, God, Gussie was going to kill us because Eileen went down. She got sick and everything's gone awful fright.
As if Eileen wasn't afraid enough of the loft.
Oh, God, we were awful. Ah, we had some great times out there.
How long did you work there for, Phyllis?
I worked there for 15 years. Oh. But then after I got married, I still went out and worked there. Like, I'd always go out and give them a hand if they were ever stuck. Like, yeah. They were great. Like, James Ennis was only 15 months old when I started working there.
A big part of their lives was Phyllis then.
Ah, yeah. He always reminds me about the time I broke his tooth.
Tell us, you have to tell us about
I was in the office trying to finish up the books, you know.
Not many people broke James's tooth.
I hope he's not listening to this. He always gets on to me about it. And James came in, and he was about 7 or 8, and started kicking a football around. So I asked him a few times to go out, and he wouldn't. So anyway, I said, get out now, you know. And I ran for him. When I ran, he ran across the road and I ran after him. But I caught him anyway. But as I caught him, he fell and he broke his tooth.
Poor James.
Anyway, I think he's forgiven me for it.
Yeah, he's officially apologising here, James, for breaking your tooth.
Good man, James.
So did you go on to Clarendon, into White's after that?
No. After Mary was born, I didn't work for, I'll tell you when I started working. Carmel Healy, who was, I sat with her in National School. She was my best friend. We're still in contact. And they were opening Healy's pub out there. And she asked me, would I go out and give them a hand for the night? So, you know, the usual, the night turned into, I was there for a good while with Porrick Rabbit and myself. So we had great crack. Porrick had called me on an evening at 5 o'clock. Phyllis, can you come in and let me go to play a match at 6:30? And I with two kids. So then I left there. And Tom Martin from Doon asked me. I was great friends with Tom's wife. We used to play football together. God rest her, she's dead now. And he asked me would I work down in his pub in Doon. So I did work down there for a year. And I have to say, I loved every minute of it.
Right.
But I was actually there for some of the World Cups, you know. Oh, yeah. It was great crack. So then I decided, well, Michael White came looking for me.
Yeah. So you were headhunted.
I was headhunted by Michael White. He's going to love this.
Well done, Mick.
So I came back to White's then. And I worked there after a good few years, just to work weekends or whenever he wanted me, basically. Yeah. But Martina's my first cousin, so it was just like family.
Like, you're a social person. Did you enjoy behind the bar?
I absolutely loved behind the bar.
Yeah.
Sure. Michael always had something to count us about. One night, Mickey Kenny came in. It was the night of the, must be the 97 Leinster final.
Nice.
And Kieran McManus, Finney Taffy always came in. So Mickey Kenny, God rest him, knew everything about soccer and he knew everything about snooker. But he knew nothing about GAA. So he's inside playing pool and Kieran McManus comes in and has a game with him. And Mickey turns around to him and says, now Kieran was after winning the match for them that day and he goes, right. Turns around and says, were you at the match today? Well, Michael was a bit of a character. Another night I was up, I used to go up to John and Anne Tierney on a Sunday. And of course, as soon as I'd go in, Anne would skip it off with Rita to the market. And this Sunday, I left Danny and Ronan and a couple of the boys over to Kilbeggan. And I used to pick them up at 5. So I went in and sat down. There was a big fire on. There was a match on. I sat down and went to sleep. Next thing I heard, John, Phyllis, it's 5 o'clock. So that was grand till I went into work that night. Michael comes up and puts his two elbows on the counter and he goes, you know who's sleeping with who nowadays? And I said, Michael, tell me who. He said, John Tierney was after ringing and telling him I slept with him for the evening. God rest him.
Brilliant.
Another evening, Michael was going to get his dinner. He'd no one to stay in the bar. I wasn't there. And he said to his mother, God rest her, now will you go up and sit in the bar? Now let the lads chat away and don't pass any heat on them at all. So she said, no bother. She brought up her knitting and she sat in the corner. So the next thing anyway, Ray Horn and Christy Willis were there and started talking about donating organs. And Ray Horn said, I think everyone should do it. You know, it's a great thing to do. And Christy said, God, it is, because it could save someone's life. And Mrs. White spoke up from the far corner. She chimed in. Oh, I do think it's a great thing to do. Christy Willis, quick as a flash, turns around and goes, "Just as Mrs. Whoever gets your ears will be away with it."
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah, we had great times in White's.
But yeah, it was a kind of, the bio work was a bit of a calling for you, isn't it? You know, for want of a better word, because it's social and... I mean, you're right at home there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I loved the crack in the bar. Like, there was always something going on.
Yeah.
There'd be always someone carrying
on. We had a little message in from Michael White.
Oh, Lord.
Well done on the podcast, Phyllis. Great sport years ago when you were working in White's. And the times when you double-jobbed babysitting Michael and Kira so we could go out for a couple of hours. You're definitely the one that introduced the kids to tea, or as they call it, tea. Many's the time we would come home and the kids be sitting at the counter drinking a bottle of tea. In their minds, no one could make it like you. Definitely great times, and thanks for everything down through the years. Not only were you an employee, but a great friend to our family, and still are to the present day. All the best to you from our family, Michael, Martina and Kira, to you. That's from Michael.
Thanks very much. Yes.
He went easy on you there, didn't he?
He went easy on me, but I did love minding little Michael and Kira. Yeah. The first thing they ever did when I went in the evening time was I had to make them tea.
Right.
And Michael would be trying to get him out of the bar. Go back, your mammy will make it for you, but she doesn't know how. That urge your lovely kids. God rest poor Michael.
Yeah, so you had it. You had the touch there, Phyllis.
Well, I love kids, so it's very easy. You know, I've minded more kids in Clare, I'd say, than anybody else.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, as I said in my introduction, you're a huge GAA person. We'll give you some of your stats. So you played the first ever ladies inter-county match against Kerry 1973. You played in the first ever All-Ireland final 1974. You played in four All-Ireland finals in total.
Yeah, we played four. We played five. One was replay.
We played five. Okay, we'll give you five All-Ireland finals in total. Winning two, 79 and 81. You were the first chairperson of Offaly County Board. You were part of the setup of the ladies football here in Clara. And if that wasn't enough, you were inducted into the LGFA GAA Hall of Fame in 2014. That must have been a huge honour, Phyllis.
It was a huge honour.
So take us back. So did you get a call, or how did I come
about? I got a call one day. This girl said, "Phyllis, you're our Hall of Fame recipient this year." And I said, "Am I nominated for it?" And she said, "No, you are our Hall of Fame."
Oh.
And I was honoured, because there's an awful lot of great footballers there, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, we had a great night up in City West.
Yeah.
Mary came back from Canada for it. But now, speaking of Mary, I'm not the only person in our house with an All-Ireland medal.
All right.
Mary has, as part of the Harp and Shamrock Band, Mary also has an All-Ireland medal. Yeah.
So there's plenty of digs to Danny and Joe, is there, about these?
Well, Danny has a Leinster handball medal, and he has a few Leinster schools medals.
Right. So what does it mean, the Hall of Fame, then? Is your picture up in Dublin? And
I don't know, to be honest with you. It's just you're there recorded as the Hall of Fame to read out. They came down, Marty Morrissey rang me and he said, "We'll be coming down now to record a bit for you. So where in Clara will we go?" So they said, "We'll go to Ballycumber."
Right.
So I contacted Jim Kelly at the time. And Marty Morrissey said it was the biggest crowd he ever had. Normally, when you go to record a bit about the Hall of Fame person, he says you could have 20. We had about 200. And
I was watching it myself during the week. It was like a big homecoming, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely. It was great now.
As we said there, the All-Ireland's 79 and 81. Like, which stands out more, Phyllis, to you?
The 79 one stands out more. We beat Tipperary. And we were after beating us in two or three semi-finals, you know. So the 79 one stands out for two reasons. One is, that was the one we had a replay for.
Right.
And I broke my finger in the first game. I stood down to pick up a ball and someone kicked me. So I got it set. And on the Saturday, 2 weeks later was the replay. I went back into the doctor and I said, "Now, what can you do with my finger? Because I have a match for it." And he said, "You can't play the match." But I said, "I'm going to play the match." So I played it and broke my finger again. And I broke it for the third time when we were in Feroiga. And we used to have a sports night. And whoever was one short, I'd be on their team. So I was in goals. And I remember Ray Henry said to me, Now, you may take it easy, you know, you're too serious about it. But Adam Tracy took a free. It was above in Michael Egan's leisure centre. And I saved the free and broke my finger. Now, if you want the definition of embarrassment, it's going into the hospital. How did you do this? Playing football. What age are you? 47.
Adam Tracy, if you're listening to this, we'll be on to you.
Another bit of Adam Tracy. He's the worst to come, Adam.
So, like, take us through the preparations to get to a final. Pick one. You know, the training, the camaraderie with the teammates and that. Was there much fanfare years ago with the ladies' football compared to now?
Oh, no. Sure, we were never let into Croke Park. Well, Ballycumber was always good. They always had a couple of busloads, you know, had come. But the first All-Ireland that was played in Durrow in Laois, there was about 200 people there. That's all. Gotcha. And we couldn't even get the result on the radio. We rang, we tried everything. Oh no, it's a sport of no interest, we were told. So we kept at it and at it and at it. And eventually, so it was 2001, I think, before it got to Croke Park. But it wasn't, because we were brought out 25 years after the first All-Ireland, which was 99. Right. But at that time, only the Hogan Stand was open because there wasn't enough people going. Now, like, the whole place is full.
Yeah.
Like, it is brilliant.
So, like, there wasn't a fanfare, but obviously as a team you're preparing for this big All-Ireland final. It was as big tea inside, you know?
Yes, but the thing is, the training wasn't nearly as hard as it is today. No, because ladies' football was... you see, I had a great advantage over the rest of them because I always trained with the Ballycumber. I went to the field in Ballycumber and trained with the lads.
Did you?
And the Lord of mercy on Big Andy. He'd stand at the goal and God help anyone touched me. Yeah, I did. So it was a great advantage. You know, I was never afraid of anyone going out. I always went out to play football. Now, there's some people that tell you that I was dirty, but I never had my name taken. I went for a ball. If there was someone in my way, that was too bad.
Was the ref afraid to take your name?
No.
Did you have a nickname on the field, Phyllis?
No.
No?
I did not.
Are you sure about that now?
I don't know.
Yeah, the Iron Lady, I heard.
Oh, God, no, that was on the paper once. The Iron Woman from Ballycumber. I played at that stage, I started off at centre back and I could catch a ball, in fairness, I could catch a ball over anybody. So we were playing Galway one day and Nono McHugh, who was an international soccer player, she was playing centre field and I was sent out to play on her. So I caught the first ball over her head and I caught the second ball over her head and I caught the third ball and she flattened me.
Right.
She got behalf, so it was okay.
So when you won the All-Ireland's coming back to Ballycumber then or wherever you came back to, was there a bit of a celebration?
Well, the 79 All-Ireland, we had a great celebration. We came back to Tullamore and we were brought through the street. Then we went to Ballycumber. We went to Eden Derry and I did the schools myself and Anne Malloy, we did the schools with the Cubs because I think it's very important to include kids and everything.
Where did the GEA influence come for you, Phyllis?
Well, my granduncle was on the first Laois team to ever win an All-Ireland in 1915. It was a hurling final. But my father didn't have a whole lot of interest in GEA. Now, my mother had more. It was just somebody came up one day and said, we're going to start a team. It's about 1968. Will you come up and play? So myself and Carmel Healy, Eileen O'Mara, Rose Kelly, gang of us went up and started from there. So we kept at it. Well, some of them dropped off, which I kept at it.
Brilliant. I was reading a little piece in the paper actually there that we found during the week. Phyllis Hackett is regarded as the best player in the country and other outstanding players included in the side are goalkeeper Geraldine Todd, Ballycommon, centre-half-back Rose Dunnigan, Ballycumber, midfielder Catherine Hanlon, Ballycommon and forwards Bridget Reynolds, Tullamore, Tona MacDonald, Ballycommon, and Helen Carroll, Eden Derry. Them names bring back a few memories.
Yes, that was on the Evening Herald on the before the 79 All-Ireland. Yeah. I actually got the Harrier Sports Star Award that year as well. Ah, sure, it was grand, but sure, you're only as good as your last match.
Your last match, yeah. Have a little piece of audio here from a friend of yours and fellow teammate, Mary Carroll.
Now, Phyllis and I go way back in time, much longer than I'd like to remember, so I've put it in rhyme. We had great laughs and times as we travelled to games to show every county our reason for fame. When we won All-Ireland, Leinster, county and club, as we'd fought for our dreams, we'd even beaten the Dubs. We'd Phyllis the backbone of every match, God help any opposition who tried covering her patch. As time went on, we left football behind and we once entered a race to test our fitness in kind. Well, Phyllis, she won and received her prize. As I laughed at a cup and saucers, she won with great surprise. So another step forward as he still keep fit and walk all around our county bit by bit. Phyllis's next challenge is to climb Crohan Hill. So let's all stay behind her and don't ever let her sit still.
Fantastic. That's it. That's brilliant, Mary.
We start playing ladies football. Oh, God, I was only 14 at the time. And I suppose she doesn't like to think about it. But Ballycommon was our first, was one of the first teams that beat them. Ballycumber, she was. I have to say that, you know, just to get a dig in her.
A healthy dig.
Oh, a nice healthy watch, which is used to me. And she'll have a good answer for it. Don't you worry about that one. Look at your great girl. You're a great friend. Lovely to have friendship with you all over the years. Always enjoyed it. Always have a laugh and always have good times. And that's all we need to do. That's all life is about. And we both enjoy each other's company. And sure, look for the good in life and the happiness in life. And on we go.
That's Mary. Mary Carroll there.
Yes, well, I did beat her in.
Bit of controversy there, Phyllis.
Well, I could always outrun Mary at 100 yards, but I couldn't at 200. And the race in Clohan, it was after a match, like, was 200 yards, but I knew Podge Mulhair better than she did. So he brought it back to 100 yards, and I won. And the prize was a set of dessert dishes.
You still have them, Phyllis.
I don't think so.
I must say thanks to Mary for that poem. I rang Mary last Monday, I think, and within an hour or two, she had that little poem done and all for you, Phyllis. So
Mary's a great friend of mine.
Very talented.
We go walking very
Phyllis,
often.
The Hall of Fame was not your first time on TV either, I believe.
No, back in 1969, I think it was, I was involved in Machan na Ferma, and the very first cross-country quiz was on. So we were all brought in, there was about 40 of us brought in to Bulger's Hotel, and we did a written test. So I made it on the team, along with David Connor from Clara, and Joe Welch and Dominic Kelly from Killy. So we were on television, and Leash pipped us by 1 point.
So a bit of fame there for you, Phyllis.
I wouldn't say it. Too many people remember that.
You've done tremendous work with Clara Ladies Football down through the years, being one of the founding members.
Yeah, well, Michael Sheridan approached me one day to know would I help Fran Malloy. So Fran and myself went along and we got a good team together. 1 year we actually won the under 14, under 16 and minor. But then that team fell asunder for various different reasons. I did coaching in the school for years, in the girls' school. And then in Boher School, of course, back to my roots. And I'm very proud of some of the kids that went, you know, they put through my hands. Some of them are very, very good, talented footballers. Mm. At the minute now, I'm with St. Mankins. It would be Ballycumber Tubber.
All right. Yeah,
so
above.
I don't do a whole lot of training now. Yeah. You know, when you come to my age, it's time to run a bit less.
You said in the intro, Phyllis, you'd love to see more kids getting involved in sport. How important is it to bring them on with confidence and everything?
Well, I think it's very important. But I honestly, I don't think I don't agree with the way they train kids today. Okay. Like, when I was training kids, I went out and I taught them how to kick a ball, how to catch a ball and how to solo. Now, I went out there with some of the teams and they're putting down markers and they're getting the little kids to run through the markers. Like, I do think they should concentrate more on football.
So you think a more old school approach, Phyllis?
Well, I'd be in favour, but I'm sure the younger people aren't.
Yeah.
But I do think it's very important for kids because the other thing is, I always used to tell the kids going out, football's about discipline. And it's also about being involved. And it's about learning to lose. You know, because I always tell them, you know, you have to learn to lose before you win.
Yeah.
And I do think it's great for them mentally and physically.
Yeah, it's there forever with them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah.
We had a message from Valerie Rooney, who's also involved in the lady set up. Hi, Lloyd, and congratulations, Phyllis, on a very deserving podcast. Back in the days when Phyllis was playing, she and her teammates would have been very much in the minority as regards media coverage, etc. And it is thanks to ladies like Phyllis that the ladies' GAA is going from strength to strength. And it's great to see so many girls now playing the game. Best wishes for the future from everyone at Clara Ladies' GAA. So that's a nice compliment.
Thanks very much. It is good, yes. I was with them for a good while. But I felt when Ballycumber were involved in another club, I had to go.
Right. Like working with you, there's another big part of your life. You've done it in Boher and in Clara. You're still involved, I believe.
Yes, I'm in the youth club now. I love young people. And I mean, I'm out my bike every day and have all these little fellas standing and saying, Phyllis, do a wheelie. But I always stop and talk to them. And I think that's very important.
I think you've done that for a long time though, Phyllis. Even when we were growing up as kids, you know, I was up to chat and crack, you know.
Yeah, but I feel sometimes that people kind of ignore kids, you know. Yeah. But I'd never ignore a child. I always stop and talk to them. And, you know, it's great. It's lovely to go down to town and every kid's waving, hello, do a wheelie.
I know, it's great. Burnout.
I just say, I'll do it around the corner.
Tell us about your trip to New York City with the Harper and Shamrock Band.
Oh, God, that was in 1999. And I went off myself. Mary was involved in the band. And
well, just tell everyone a little bit about the Harp and Shamrock Band before you.
Well, the Harp and Shamrock Band, Nora Kavanagh was the founder of it, and with the help of the parents, like, they went a long, long way. We went to Manchester a couple of times, we went to London, but they did win in All-Ireland, which is a great achievement. Brilliant. And they won several Leinsters. Yeah. But I went off anyway in 99. Danny was 14, so there was no problem leaving him and Joe at home together. So I got the... Anytime I got to ring, everything was fine. So I came home anyway, and Danny was extremely well behaved. But I thought, this is great. He missed me and everything else. After about 2 years, I came out one night. Danny had a ball while I was away. Joe used to make
Not
cider.
Not a football now.
No, it wasn't a football. Joe used to make cider. So Adam Tracy, Gary Scanlon came up to keep Danny company. So the boys anyway had a great... sample of this cider. Joe went down the town, of course, and the boys were grand on their own. There was absolutely no problem. Apparently it's strong stuff, because at some stage during the night they sent for Ronan Gilfoyle to see what he should do, like Ronan always being the sensible one. But Ronan sorted them out, but I think Joe had a mess to clean up when he came home, and I only heard that about 2 years later. Right, boyos.
Is it a shame now not to see the Harp and Shamrock Band in town anymore? I know we have the Clarettown Band.
Yeah, well, it is a shame. We went to New York that time. We walked down Sixth Avenue into St. Patrick's Day Parade. Mm. Like, that's great to be able to say. Yeah. It was brilliant. Kitty Tempany and myself, we always partnered at these band things. We went to Manchester one time, and Nora Kavanagh, for some reason, said, I'm going out. But she said, I'm locking the door because there's nobody to leave. We were in an old school. So myself and Kitty got out through the window. We went out to the Irish Club. But anyway, when we got there, Nora was there ahead of us. She was trying to broker a deal with, I think it was Ken McAvoy was there, so that we could all go and see whatever Irish band was on. And we had great times, and it was great for all the kids.
So Phyllis, a little birdie tells me you're no stranger to headlines. I believe you made the paper once for returning some cash. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, I was going home one day, and I went around by Le Monahan because I'd given some young fella who was thumbing a lift a lift. And when I went past the shop, I saw a briefcase on the road. So I passed it, and then I went back and I said, I wonder what this is about. So I opened it and it was full of money. So I put it in the car and I went home, and I left it. Daddy and Mummy were at home, and I left it to them, and I said, I'll go and see where this is coming from. In the meantime, when I opened it, I saw it was the Midland Tribune. So I went back to Murphy's shop, and he told me that the girls were after being back. They were over in Pulla. They realised they lost it. They put it on top of the car.
Did you count it, Phyllis?
I didn't. I just looked into it. My father would just be it honestly into us. You wouldn't be let touch anything.
So you give the money back?
Yeah, they came over, and they gave me a big box of sweets and a the front of the paper.
What did it say in the front of the paper, Phyllis?
It said, I think something like a great catch by, another great save by Phyllis, maybe. Can't remember. Something like
that.
So
that's a credit to you. You gave the cash back.
I did, yeah.
Probably big money back. What year was that, Phyllis?
That was, I think it was maybe 79. Right. Which was a long time ago. There was, they counted in our house after, and I think there was, now they said it was 1,000 in it, but there was close to 1,000 in cash, and there was a good few checks. But anyway, they got it all back,
Phyllis, anyone that goes to church in town or will know you're no stranger to there, and your work within the parish. Tell us about that. How long have you done that for?
Well, I don't work there anymore.
Right.
But I did work there from 1998 until last October.
Okay.
Now, I have to say, the only thing that didn't change in the church, I suppose you could say, is funerals.
Yeah.
In 98, you had a lot of people going to Mass. We had three priests in the parish. Three masses in Clara every weekend. a couple of years later, we had just one priest. And Father Burke, God rest him, was there. And he was a great character. Mm. Now, he could let her roar as quick as anything. But
he could.
One night, he went out to hear confessions before Mass. And he normally came in at the 7:45 bell for Mass, but he didn't return. So I went out and I asked somebody, is there anyone in the confession box? And they said no. So I knocked on the door and opened it, and all they heard, rah! Father Burke was fast asleep. God rest him.
What was it like working with different priests down through the years?
Well, it was lovely. I started with Father McMahon and Father Burke. I would have been still great. I'd still be great friends with Father McMahon.
A lot of the priests didn't like to leave Clare, did they, when they came?
No, sure, they were pampered to death.
Yeah.
I worked with a good few. Father, the last ones then would have been Father Conor McGee, which he still comes back to see me.
Brilliant.
And of course, Father Keary passed on, God rest him. He was a lovely priest, very quiet,
lovely
gentleman.
Man.
Yeah, lovely man. And Father Joe, he's here now, Father Joe Deegan, and he's a lovely man too.
You just mentioned the funerals have changed a lot. It's through COVID now.
Yeah, it's awful now because nobody can go to a funeral, you know.
Like Michael White made a great point here a few weeks ago. He said, like, people are being denied now the bit of comfort they had with the shaking hands and that. Now, I know it's all for public good and that, but, you know, it's very important, isn't it, with the Irish thing.
Yeah, well, I do think that's, you know, people miss that a lot. Mm. It was lovely there. They came into the church maybe the evening before and everyone shook hands with them and they talked. And then the next day they came in for the funeral and, God, you could be half an hour. I used to tip over the baggies and get a cup of tea for myself and Father Paddy.
Still be there, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a big part of it, wasn't it?
I think it was a great consolation to people. And that's something that they miss.
Do you think
now
it'll come back, Phyllis?
I don't think it'll ever come back the same.
No.
I think it might be gone for a long time.
Yeah. You mentioned there a few minutes ago, Father Conor.
Yeah.
I'll have a little piece from Conor here now.
It's Father Conor McGee here. I've been absolutely delighted just to give a few words about Phyllis, having worked with her now for about 3 years while I was in Clara. The first thing I'd say about Phyllis is that Phyllis has a heart of gold. She's very thoughtful and thinking of other people. And you always knew where you stood with her. She said it as it is, which maybe didn't suit everybody. But I'll say this, she never held a grudge against anyone. I wouldn't underestimate the work that she did and the influence that she had with the children who served as altar boys and girls. And I think they had great respect for Phyllis. And I couldn't let it pass without saying that Phyllis was very caring and attentive to Father Paddy in my time as curate in Clara and was in constant contact with him to ensure all his needs were met. I would consider Phyllis to be a true community person and that she has a great interest in everyone.
That was nice words there from Father Conor.
It was very nice, Father Conor. Myself and himself had a few words one morning. So I said to him, do you know what, we very often went to the coffee shop for breakfast. So I said, now we'll go down to the coffee shop and I'm going to pay. So the two of us went in, we had breakfast and I got up to pay and I had no money. So I just said, you have to pay as well. He was a great character.
He was. He was very, I describe him, he was very hip kind of priest, wasn't he? He was getting involved in all the different things in town. And
he was, you see, and that's what you want.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
the kids absolutely loved him. I was often going to say to him, you know, in stitches laughing.
Yeah.
He was very good.
Good, yeah.
He was a
nice,
great community man.
Very vibrant, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have a great interest, and this is Heritage Week this week. You have a great interest in Clara Heritage. It's something that's very important. I know Tara McCarthy is doing tremendous work and all the team there with the graveyard cleanups and that. Tell us more about that, Phyllis.
Now, I just got involved. Well, when I finished working in the church and Father Paddy died, God rest him, there was a big void in my life for all the time. I had a lot of time. So I joined up the youth club first. But unfortunately, then COVID came. And well, the one thing we did do this year was we went around to the estates and did a summer camp in that we went and played with the kids for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Actually, on that point, at one stage, I used to do play therapy in the hospital, which basically was you went in for 2 hours to play with the kids.
Yeah, brilliant. You enjoyed that more than
I
the kids.
I loved it more than the kids. But anyway, I joined up that Clara Heritage group. One of the things I learned was, and I was very impressed, Eilish Dillon, who was a famous author. She wrote one of her good books, was Across the Bitter Sea. I remember it was the last one I read from hers. She was a niece of Joseph Mary Plunkett, a 1916 leader. And she was married to Vivian Mercier, who was actually born in Eppert House, where Ray and Bernie Henry live now. And she's buried down in the Church of Ireland graveyard.
Right.
Now, a lot of people wouldn't know that.
No.
And I wouldn't know it either, only I got involved.
Yeah.
Then on Monday evenings, we go up to the graveyards. There's a real old graveyard. It's kind of at the back of the monastery.
Mm.
But a few weeks ago, Pat Cornley was there, and he came on a headstone, white. And Michael White had spent years looking for his grandfather's headstone. And his great-grandfather, PJ White, was one of the founders of the GAA. And he never could find a headstone.
Yeah.
So he was absolutely delighted.
Great news.
Yeah, yeah, we found it.
We were actually talking about him on the Michael White podcast a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
About PJ White.
Yeah.
You know, so great, that's brilliant. What's there to find in the Heritage Trail around Clara? People heading out for a walk tomorrow.
Oh, God, you could go. I mean, you can go out to Ballina, you know, out by the Eskers. You can go out there to the boardwalk. You can go to Tony's Hill. You can go to the graveyards. Are very interesting, the people who are buried there. You know, there's lots of things.
What about, if anybody wanted to get involved in the Heritage Group, Phyllis, how did it go about that?
There's absolutely no problem. You can contact Bernie Henry, Ray Henry, Brian Sheridan, anybody, Tara McGrath.
Yeah.
But another thing we tend to forget in Clara is, like, across the road from you now is Willie Nolan. Do you realise that Willie Nolan was the first person to ever captain Offaly to an All-Ireland?
Fantastic.
And he was the first Offaly man to ever captain a Leinster team.
We're hoping to have him in soon on the podcast.
God, I wish you luck. Willie's very shy. But, you know, things like that should be recorded. Like, I know that, but all the kids coming up don't know it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, there's a lot of history in the town that needs to be...
Oh, there's an awful lot of history.
There, yeah.
It needs to be documented.
Let's talk about your family, Phyllis. Right. You mentioned your son, Danny, and Mary. They're in the USA.
Yes,
along with your grandkids.
Yeah.
Finn, Donna, and Milo.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it hard adjusting to that, Phyllis? Your grandkids and kids being away?
No, I know. Well, when Danny went over first, he went over in February, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I went over in October to see how he was getting on.
Yeah.
So he brought me to the airport. And he said to me, "Now, Ma, if you cry, I'm going home with you."
Right.
And I said, "You needn't worry, because I never got a night's sleep till you went." But at his... Now, it was bad, but then when the kids came along.
The grandkids.
I mean, I spent a lot of time with them. Like, I was there at the lockdown, when the lockdown happened, and I had to come home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went over for... Donna was going to be 2 and Finn was going to be 5.
Mm.
And I got to be there for Donna's birthday.
Brilliant.
But I had to come home on the Friday before Finn's.
Yeah.
So at the airport, he said, "Bye, Granny.
Oh.
And don't forget to fly back on Thursday for my birthday."
Yeah, so it's tough at them times, isn't it?
It is hard, yeah, when they're so far away.
I know there's another few people on your road as well, but kids away and that.
Well, O'Brien's across the road are in the same boat. And Tierney above is in the same boat. I go uptown very often.
Right.
Say, you know, any other occasions, like Mother's Day, myself and Nan, have it together.
Did you ever think of moving stateside, Phyllis?
Well, moving stateside, I can't get Joe to move out with Clara. So unless I move on my own.
Well, that could be an option for yourself. We have some messages in from Donna, Danny.
Ah.
And we've a very important question at the end.
Okay.
Hi, Bobby Joe.
Hi, Granny.
Hi, Bobby Joe.
Say hi, Granny.
Hi, Papa Joe.
Miss you, Granny.
I miss you, Granny.
Love you.
Yeah, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Lloyd, thanks for having my mother on the show. It's a great show, and keep it up. You know, she's a great woman, mother to many there in the town, as a lot of people know. Values family more than anything, and very tough for her being away, so we appreciate all the kids that people send her away. It was great growing up with her. You know, she was always tough but fair. You know, a couple of hiccups along the way. Oh, Mary was a devil, but you know, great times. I had my first pint with my mother in White's. Now, she was down in the pool room, I was up in the lounge, and Mick White was keeping lookout, but same general area. I remember another time I was about 5. I was running out after doing something, trying to get away from her. I did something inside, There was tie diggers and tractors and everything in the yard, and I was running up the back. I took a look over my shoulder to see it was again in ground. I was dodging all these things, of course, and I can still see in my mind my mother clearing the tractor. She was about 4 foot in the air, the apron on, and the wooden spoon in hand. I just froze, and I think the wooden spoon got broken across me at some stage or another. But, you know, as I say, Lloyd, she's a great old character, always a bit of crack. Never drank, but was always able to fit in with the best of them. A great woman behind the bar, and we miss her dearly over here. But it was, you know, I'm sure it's tougher for her having all the grandkids over here, but we appreciate everyone that sends kids her way, and she loves that, and she loves the town very much, nearly more than Ballycumber. And keep it up. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Some lovely messages there, Phyllis, from Danny and Mary in America. I think you should have given Danny that wooden spoon a bit more, I think. We have a very special question in from your grandson, Finn, who's also in the States. So have a listen now. The answer is going to be very important, Phyllis.
Hi, Granny Laura. I'm my super. I mean, who is your favourite, Danny or Mary?
That's a very important one.
My favourite people are Finn, Donna and Milo.
Very good answer. That's a politician's answer, Finn. So that's nice messages there from
yes.
Danny and
yeah, lovely. Yeah, I do
Donna.
Miss them, yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's nice hearing it though, isn't it? The little American accents and everything.
Ah, it was lovely. And when he talks about kids being sent my way, I have to say hello to Oran Gilfile. He comes shopping with me every time
brilliant.
I'm going shopping.
Brilliant.
And Oisín and all the rest of the kids.
Phyllis, I have four kids in there. I can send down to you tomorrow if you want.
I don't mind. There's always kids in my house.
You can bring them home now if you want. Phyllis, I read somewhere you quoted, if you want it to happen, you have to make it happen yourself. Is that still the same?
Well, that
mantra
is,
you have.
Yeah, because there's no point in me saying, oh, I think something should happen if I'm not going to get out and make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people sitting at home and saying, oh, well, I think this should happen or I think this should be done in the town. Mm. You know, the thing is, you have to get out and you have to start it yourself.
Yeah.
And then people will come on board.
Yeah.
But you can't sit home and expect everyone else to do what
yeah,
you
yeah. It's a good
think
thing to have.
Done.
It's a good attitude to have. We'll do a quick fire round, Phyllis. I know, hopefully you're familiar with them anyway, but it's fairly self-explanatory. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. The first thing that gets into your head, no stalling. So here we go. You ready for this now?
Yeah.
Okay. First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
A new car.
First movie you've ever seen?
I think it was something to do with horses. I can't remember.
What actress would play you in a film?
Oh, Marilyn Monroe, of course.
Describe yourself in 3 words.
Mad. Happy. Helpful, hopefully.
Best thing about Clara?
People. Kids.
What's your favourite song?
Oh, Gypsy Don't Me.
One thing you would take to a desert island?
Club Orange.
Club Orange. Who's the best GAA player you've seen play?
Matt Connor.
Leo Varadkar or Micheál Martin?
Neither. Barry Count.
And the last one, Clara or Ballycumber?
I have to say Ballycumber.
We'll have to kick you out now after that. We have a few messages in, Phyllis. Best wishes sent in from Anna Orman, Trish Fallon, Mary Heine, Jackie Kennedy, Breda O'Brien, Deirdre Johnson. There's a lot. You're a very popular woman, Phyllis. I could be reading
Thank
out names there for the next hour. Did you ever think of writing a book?
I often say I should write a book, but I'm not sure it would ever be printed.
How would you call it?
Phyllis's Memoir.
Well, we could put religion and awfully and all that together. We could call
all
it
religion, the whole lot,
Faithful
yeah.
Phyllis.
Yeah.
I was thinking that. Phyllis, you've lived and seen it all. What advice would you give to the younger generation today?
Well, the first thing I'd say is enjoy life. Enjoy life. And life is too short to be holding grudges against people. You know, everybody has their little ups and downs, but you have to get over that.
Mm. Any regrets in life, Phyllis?
Nah.
Not even leaving Ballycumber for Clara?
Ah, no, because if I didn't leave Ballycumber for Clara, I wouldn't have Mary and Danny and I wouldn't have Finn, Donna and Milo.
Good answer, good answer. So is there anything, anyone you'd like to say hello to out there, Phyllis?
Oh, yes. I have to say hello, Finn, and hello, Mama and Dada. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you. And I will talk to you very soon. And I have to say hello to Donna, because Donna's a great boy. He says hello to Granny most days. And I have to say a big hello to Milo because I'm going to miss his first birthday and I'm so sad about that. And I'm also going to miss Finn's first day in school And I was determined to go to that because Nigel Rabbit never lets me forget that he was there the day Finn went to his first day in play school. So now I can't go.
Okay, so Nigel likes to rub it in.
Yeah, he does.
So that's great. So is there anything we left out, Phyllis? Anything you'd like me to ask you? She's going through her notes here now, folks.
Let's see, have I a note here?
Very organised. Phyllis is the most organised guest we've had on and What's the Story?
Well, that's because I would probably be very nervous. I'll tell you just now about one night we went to, I was in Mochran na Ferma. Carmel Healy and myself were great friends, still are. And we went to a quiz final up in Rann, which we won. So we came home and it was a Mochran dance up in Boher Hall. Now, if you know the size of Boher Hall, it's not much bigger than here. Mm-hmm. The problem was we had nothing to wear. But Carmel's aunt, a nun, was home from America and Carmel went in and dressed as a nun. But I had nothing to wear, so she said, OK, Daddy's in bed and I take his clothes. Now, Hubie was a farmer and his clothes weren't exactly back from the laundry. He was a hard-working man. So we took the clothes anyway and off we went to the fancy dress dance. But when it was all over, because we were on the committee, we had to lock the hall. And then everybody was gone home. We had to walk home. So when we got in to Healy's pub in Ballycumber, Hubie was up, screaming around the house, Jesus Christ, child, where's my clothes? I left them on the bed when I went to bed. So I had to go into the bar and take off his clothes and wait for Carmel to come back with mine. And we had great times. It was great fun and there was no harm done.
Phyllis, you're a very fun person. Enjoyed having you in for the chat.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for all you've done for GEA down through the years, for all you've done for your town and your parish and the church and all that. And that you're, as Danny said, you're a friend to many here in the town, which is great. And everybody will agree with that. Wish you well for the future. Thanks for coming in the chat. And what better way to play out on this podcast is a song from your son, Danny. It's called Hey Hey. Don't forget next week, folks, we have something different on the show. So it's an important show. I hope you join us then. Thanks a million. Thank you, Phyllis.
You're welcome, Lloyd. I enjoyed it.
Hey, hey. Yeah, hey, baby, hey. Hey, hey. Yeah, hey, baby, hey. Yeah, but I'm you, baby, all I can say is, hey.
This podcast is brought to you by K&R Sound, Ireland's leading PA supplier for all occasions, big or small. PA installation and refinement also available. Get yourself heard today. Just search for K&R Sound on Facebook.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.